You're listening to Pod of Wonder, the podcast that builds a world using random Wikipedia articles and then plays a game in that world. This season, we're making a reality television show about bicycle engineering in a haunted house. Really? That's what we're... Okay.
A couple episodes back, I think I used the word douche in conversation. And nobody knew what I was talking about. Douche being sort of like a mild blunt force injury, I guess, was what it would mean.
Yeah. And we couldn't figure out how to spell it. So
couldn't figure out how to spell it. I checked with my sister. I asked, is this a word that people used or was this a word that I just made up? She said that it was a word that I just made up. However, I was talking to someone the other day who also grew up in Western Massachusetts. And without me coaxing them in any way, they used the word douche in conversation to me. So I feel sort of vindicated that this is a real word.
Huh. Okay. Douche.
Douche.
Douche. Hi, Morgan. How are you? How was lunch?
It was douche.
It was douche.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It was good, though. It was good.
You smashed it into your head.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Yay.
Seems like we've got a weird energy going. At least yes. Mike. Yeah. As per usual.
No. No. That hurt slightly.
Oh, Deuce good.
Is going to become John.
Well, I mean, a John would typically douche you if you're not. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I've had an energy drink and an alcohol drink, and I'm in my 30s, which means I'm going to die after this episode.
Yeah.
I guess I've been dead for almost 15 years.
Wow. Impressive.
That explains some things, but not so much.
Yeah.
Let's jump right in. Pod of Wonder, Season 8. Episode 3, Ghosts Riders, a reality show about bicycles in a haunted house.
I had forgotten entirely about our premise.
This is the kind of deep and nuanced world building you expect from this podcast. Introductions. I am Danny. Any pronouns are fine. I will be dead in 45 minutes or so.
I am Morgan, he, they pronouns, and I am only on my second cup of coffee, so that's going to be a weird energy in and of itself.
I'm Mike. I use he, him pronouns. I guess I have no evidence that I'm here at all.
I'm Maria, they, them pronouns. Yeah.
Let's douche.
Yeah, that's douche.
We looked at the history of the bicycle the other day.
Oh, my, yeah. Mm-hmm. What was that beautiful velocipede for ladies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You sit in the middle so you can keep your ankles together and maintain your...
like you're riding a bicycle side saddle?
Like it's in the, right. There's two big wheels on the sides and then two little pedals in the front and a little tiny, tiny wheel in the back. And you sit in the seat is in the middle.
That way you don't have to worry about scandalizing the world with a glimpse at your legs.
Yep, it's true.
Exactly.
Yeah, with the idea that your legs part in the middle.
Yes.
They don't. They're not supposed to, right?
They never. Yeah. Nope.
Oh, the other day I saw someone I was driving along Kelly Drive and I legit saw someone pedaling a velocipede.
Okay. I was like, where are we going with that?
Yeah. Like big wheel in front, small wheel in back. It felt very like hipster fish towny, except it was in like along a major road kind of near East Falls. So like very out of place.
And even that, I feel like the hipster weird velocipede bike thing was like 10 years ago. as a hipster like trend.
Yeah, I remember seeing a bunch of tall bikes. Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Yeah, the tall bike in Richmond was a mainstay. So
yeah,
this person was definitely out of time, anywhere from 10 to 100 years.
Time traveler.
There is a fellow who owns a bike shop and has been riding one of those around for 20-ish years and has the waxed mustache and all of that and has just been doing that on the daily forever.
Honestly, I'm impressed by that because that's commitment.
Yeah.
That's even before it was a hipster thing.
I mean, at least they're not chasing like weird trends. They found their weird thing and just settled into it.
Yeah, and enjoyed a moment in time where it was cool and popular again, and then went back to normal. Must be nice.
Or maybe it's just you get on one of those bikes 20 years ago, and it's tall enough that there's no way to ever get back off, so you're just doing that now forever.
Mm-hmm. You live there now.
Yeah.
That's what would happen to me. My legs are too short. Sometimes I get like stuck on the Peloton bike. Because where the bike has to be, like, my feet don't touch the ground when I'm sitting on the saddle. So I'm like, there's a moment of danger there every time. Like,
wait, so is that where you are right now? Is that why we haven't seen you in person for a while?
Yes.
Yeah, Morgan's just been stuck on a Peloton for 2 years.
It works. It's got a tablet, you know. anyway.
And anyway, this is all technically on topic because today we are making our prospective contestants for our reality show. Something we normally do in regular seasons but didn't do last season is we do a lightning round where we take all of the articles that we didn't use and make them a part of the world. So since we didn't do that last season, we're going to use season 7's rejected articles as inspiration for our reality show contestants because I didn't want us to spend all that time just like hitting random articles. Like, is this good? Is this good? No.
Yeah.
We've got 20 articles sitting around. We might as well put them to use. But I figure we can do this like lightning round style, like read your article really quick, come up with an idea. We ask you questions about it for 2 minutes. And I don't know, maybe like we can try and hit all of them. And then we pick out 4 contestants we really like to get full episodes on.
Can we just pick one or should we roll?
Yeah, I mean, I have a die because it ended up being 20 articles. If you don't count Robert Petkoff, sorry, Robert Petkoff, you just weren't interesting.
Ooh, Vlad the Drowned. Vlad in a Catul.
We were puzzling over that pronunciation, and it seems like you just nailed it.
In a Catul. Oh, I was guessing. It might be incredibly incorrect.
I think that's about what we landed on. We had like a robot computer voice tell us how to say it, and it was kind of that.
Oh, nice.
Wait, so what do I roll the dice and then that's my article?
Yeah. And I'm thinking like a name, maybe like a brief bio, like the kind of thing in a reality show where like somebody introduces themselves like I'm blah 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 and like I'm a bicycle repairman from Dothup, Pennsylvania. And like maybe their idea of what the bicycle of the future is going to be.
Cool. I'm calling Vlad.
Okay.
I've got Ritter Sport.
For Vlad, I'm going to stick as close to the actual bio as possible. See how weird it can get.
Well, I mean, spoilers for a guy from the 1500s, he's dead. So, I rolled a 1, so I'm claiming running wild. See, Mike, do you want to roll or claim an article? So everybody knows what they're doing.
I think I'm going to claim automatic warning system, even though I didn't roll it.
Okay. So lightning round, 2 minutes are actually, let me get a better like alarm noise than the sad violin before I something like reality show, like exciting. You like that? No, give me something. Sure, carnival. Lightning round. 2 minutes are on the clock. I'll give a brief introduction, and then the rest of you can ask me questions about this contestant. And go. So this contestant is Pyro, air quotes, the General Coronado. They are from, let's see, they just say they're from the desert. Nobody's really quite sure what that means. The producers really like the mystery of it. And their idea of the bicycle of the future is bicycles for animals. They got like specialized pedals, specialized seats. Any animal should have their own bike. Rabbits, zebras, elephants, the works. Questions?
Yeah, so if you have two animals and they're different kinds of animals and they need one bike to go together, how do you do that?
Like a tandem bike for two different types of animals?
Tandem bike for two different kinds of animals, yeah.
So I think it's very modular. A lot of different pedals and parts and seats are sold separately, but they're all interchangeable. So if you wanted a tandem bike for a, you know, a rabbit and a zebra, you grab a rabbit seat, a zebra seat, rabbit pedals, zebra pedals. They all kind of interlock. You can swap in and out based on the types of animals that you want to tandem ride together. Questions?
How do you handle the poop situation?
You know, you just drop it down and you keep running. That's a pedestrian's problem.
What was your relationship like with your mother?
You know, my mother never believed in me, never even taught me how to ride a bike, just gave me lots of animals as sort of substitute love. So I combined those two losses. Like animals minus love plus bikes equals animal bikes? Okay. Lightning round.
Oh,
Morgan,
God.
You are up next with All Vlad right. and Nkatu.
All right. I'm ready.
Timer.
All right. So our next contestant is Vlad the Drowned Voivode. He's 24 and from Wallachia, Romania. He's, got a complicated family history, some real weirdos in the past, but, you know, he, you know, inherited his father's riches at only 24 years old. He's rich, he's young, he's ambitious, and his proposition for, the bike of the future is just, you know, a little bit of a hover bike, you know, because Vlad almost like fucking drowned in a river. And if he had just been like riding a bike that could hover a little bit above the river, then he would have been fine. Questions?
Is this fear of water something that we can work into a challenge, maybe for some extra drama, or is it like a traumatizing type fear?
Oh, he's not scared of anything. That's the problem.
Oh, he's not afraid enough of water.
Yeah. He needs a more healthy fear of it.
So from Romania, did you bike all the way here?
Of course not. Can't bike over water yet.
Ooh.
When you were 6 years old, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be, you know, I just wanted to throw parties all day, every day.
Party planner, huh?
I mean, party enjoyer, planner, invitee.
We're all aware of a more famous Vlad from Romania. Is there any connection to that famous vampire bicyclist?
That's, family history. He got a little carried away with some things, but, you know, we're proud. We're proud to come from a long line of Vlads.
This is a jaunty tune. I like it.
I love Vlad.
All right. Mike, automatic warning system. Lightning round.
Hi, I'm Sunflower. I'm a very youthful 75. And my thought about bicycles is the problem is that they will go and they will go and then they will never stop. And so my system allows for a bicyclist to continue on, to imagine that they're continuing to move, but then suddenly they will stop and it will be the perfect place for them to stop whether they wanted to or not.
So how does this imagination work? Is it like a VR helmet? Is it an administered hallucinogen? How do they think they're still going?
We're sort of vectoring in a lot of different positions all at the same time, hoping that we're going to find one particular place to stop. But the idea right now is that we have a number of magnets which are attached to the wheels. So as you cross over different places in the road where there might be like a nail or a piece of track or something like that, the wheel will just immediately stop there and will not continue on. Especially when you're moving very quickly, this can be both exciting and convenient.
Where were you when John F. Kennedy was shot?
I don't know. I was going in that direction, and I had to stop very quickly, whether I wanted to or not.
What kind of built-in safety features are present to prevent injury in these sudden stops?
Well, currently what we're working on is screaming very loudly, and we have a lot of very interesting pieces of technology working in that direction. So really, fear is what we're using to prevent fear, if you see what I mean.
But what if you fall in water?
Ooh, that would be really injurious, and I think that would cause electrocution with the current implementation that we have for the bicycle. And also screaming underwater is not as effective.
What products do you have for water screamers?
Oh, water screamers. We are actually spinning off a separate company.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Thank you. Maria, lightning round.
Okay. I am Alfred and Clara Ritter, who were... melted together accidentally in a tragic chocolate factory incident. And now they are linked at the sides. And their idea for a bicycle is like a tandem bike, but you ride side by side with one wheel under each of you, like a unicycle.
So what's the kind of setup here? Are we talking like one half and one half? Are we talking like four limbs, three legs, four arms, three legs?
Well, actually, I'm going to say that the arms, one is sort of curled up against the chest. The other one's just hanging out the back. So they're not super useful. The two inside arms, just the outside arms, really. Yeah, two legs stuck together. But you can, if it's like, it's like a little T-Rex arm in the front, you can kind of grab if you're close to something, if you bend. And you can pat a butt. Oh, that's how you would wipe your butt, with the arm that's stuck in the back.
That was my next question. Thank you.
Why only stop at two wheel?
Oh, you mean like another like third tiny wheel in the back for to help balance? That's a really good idea.
Well, I mean, if you only have two wheels, wouldn't 4 wheels or 7 wheels or 15 wheels be better?
15 wheels? That's a lot of wheels. 50, what is that, 5 a foot?
5 a foot. So you would have sort of the fruit by the foot, and then the 5 feet.
What do you say to the other contestants who think your extra limbs are giving you an unfair advantage?
I would say, let me tie up your arm here in the front, little, and squish the other one on the back, smash you up next to another person, and see how well you function around. It's taken a lot of time to really coordinate ourselves.
Okay, so maybe like as a way of simplifying this a little bit, of those four contestants, who do we want to see move on to get their own episode?
Only one person can move on?
Only one of these four can move on.
What?
Why is that?
No.
These are the best four that we have.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to do all 20?
I don't know. What?
I mean, I'm just counting on us being unable to remember 20 people, but.
Well, yes, okay, yeah. This is my favorite. I want Vlad.
Okay. We'll keep it on to the big show then. And everybody roll or pick a new article.
Yeah, and if we each decide that we want something different, we can just swap it out. We can choose it.
Okay. I rolled a 6, so I'll be taking the Mechanical Turk.
I'm taking For Real Friends.
Which is on 11. What's that?
What did you have, Maria?
I have Robin Friday.
Maria and Mike?
Marjorie Cameron.
Marjorie Cameron. Okay. Oh, actually, let me take notes on the people we made so that because they are immediately going to slip out of my mind once we make four new people.
I'm trying to take crummy notes as well, but they're on paper.
Yeah.
I have put notes on Vlad in the session notes channel.
Yeah, everybody maybe take some notes on your creations. Lightning round.
Yay.
2 minutes are on the clock. This is from the article Mechanical Turk. This next contestant is Turk von Kemplen from Germany. And he's, you know, a bit of a self-taught tinkerer and an inventor. No formal training, just kind of a real wunderkind of the bicycle world. So I'm going to say he's like 17. Like legally, it's only an issue if he wins, but, you know, we'll figure it out later. But his bicycle of the future is controlled by playing chess. Basically, how you move your pieces determines the bike moving forward. Like, you want to go diagonal, you move your bishop. You want to take a right turn, you move your knight. You want to inch a little bit ahead, you use your pawns. It's a chess bike. Questions?
Real quick question here. So I can imagine you make this one bike, which is a chess playing bike that's controlled. What happens if you make a second bike and you encounter each other on the road?
Neither of you can move until one of you is defeated.
So if are you playing against another side on the board? Like, what if you're blocked from doing something? Does that mean that you run into a tree?
It's more of a theoretical chess match. There is a hard mode on this bike where you do compete against an AI component, but really it's controlled just by moving pieces on a board in a chess style. There's no opponent to speak of unless you want one.
How do you choose whether you're playing white or black when you first get on the bike?
You have to choose white, otherwise you cannot move until the AI moves. And if the AI moves first, it pushes you backwards.
What was the name of your elementary school?
Wolfgang Amadeus Elemozartery. Let me write down all that stuff I just made up. Next, going down the list, we have Maria with Robin Friday.
Okay. Robin Friday is a retired footballer known for a number of incidents, including kicking someone in the face. Just like to kick everything. Really known for his ball game. So I think his bike is going to be powered off of a system of little ball bearings that bounce off the gears and make it go fast.
What is the bike looking for? Is it like going by accuracy? Is it going by force?
Oh, definitely force. The bike is actually not, there are no brakes on it. You only stop when you hit something that you can't smash through.
So can you get different sizes of ball bearings if you want to go faster or if you want to induce it more strongly?
Yeah, you can definitely upgrade to mega balls. Those are the really big balls, and they bounce around pretty hard.
So we would have big balls, and they would have big balls, and it would just be sort of a question of who had the biggest balls of all?
Yes. Sometimes.
I hate that I get that reference.
I think my brain just like blanked out for a minute there.
I do actively dislike AC/DC. It just happened that Maria opened her laptop the other day and it was actively playing.
Yes, I got drunk and I was listening to Big Balls.
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Big balls.
Yeah, Robin Friday's got the biggest balls of them all, that's for sure.
Do the big balls hold many tiny ball bearings?
Yes. It's like a bag of marbles. the seat has two bags of marbles, one hung on each side.
They jingle.
If you're being chased by some schoolyard bullies, per se, could you unleash these marbles and have them trip and fall in a comic fashion?
Oh, absolutely. You can also shoot a bunch of them out the tailpipe. Actually, there's so many ball bearings on this.
Can you speak to the tailpipe a little bit?
It's long and hard.
I'm sorry, the timer went off. We will have to strike your tailpipe comments from the record.
We can't fall afoul of obscenity laws.
No. Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Morgan, for real friends.
All right. This guy's just going to be named Hasbro Sega. or maybe to avoid any kind of copyright, Gasbro Mega.
That's still very good.
I've just written that down. They're head of a successful company that produces animatronics, but you know what they really want for the bike of the future is to have a bike that has an attachment bike for your pet to ride along with you, and you know, little pedals for the little paws. And it's different because the pets would not be riding this bike on their own. They would be riding with you, but it's just like a tandem bike for you and your little fuzzy friend.
Yeah, quick question. So obviously I typically ride with my dog, and frequently my dog will want to go in a different direction than I do. How do we decide who gets to steer?
Well, it's going to be a battle of wills. If you're determined enough, you'll be able to direct.
How does a background in animatronics give you an advantage in this competition?
You know, I'm just good at figuring out how parts fit together and making things move. Not at all.
Have you ever made a bike that looks like an animal or vice versa? I don't know how that would work.
Yes, it's one of our kind of popular models. It's like a horse and its legs go around on the wheels just really fast, and so like you can look like you're riding a horse if you're on the bike, but it's like not very fancy. It's more of a showpiece. Can't really go places. It's like kind of stationary. It's a little boring.
So it's a bicycle that looks like a rocking horse.
Yeah.
Lightning round. Mike, tell us about Marjorie Cameron.
Marjorie Cameron is a painter and an cultist who faked their own death back a little after World War II. So this bike is going to be a bike which will really indicate where you've come from and where you're going. The wheels will actually paint on the ground the path that you've come from, and it will spray ahead of you what your futures look like and how you're going to die. And it makes a beautiful pattern on the road that everyone can admire, and they can admire what your future is going to look like.
Why did this contestant fake their death?
Well, I mean, you can't be famous unless you're not here.
Checks out.
So how did you unfake your death?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously you use the fame to sort of bring yourself back, right? So here I am again, and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for me in the past.
What do you say to the consumer reviews of this product that forecast that every single person who rides this bike's predicted death is death in a bicycle accident?
Well, you're saying that I can't predict other kinds of death? It just happens to be that this is the way that everybody dies when they ride my bike.
What's the color palette?
The color palette originally would be sort of white and green, and then it sort of trends more and more towards deep, deep red.
Suppose I wanted a different color in the trail that I leave behind me. What kind of options do I have?
Well, really, it's based on the colors of your mind when you think about it, when you're sort of moving through the colors of your mind. So whatever color palette is going to come to you as you ride the bike or as you stop riding the bike suddenly and traumatically, really, it's up to you. And the very end of the color palette that you see is going to be unique to each person, whether you're...
All right. New articles. Lightning round. I got an 8. Paul's Graph versus the Long Island Railroad Company.
Ooh, I'm going to be 19. Australian boobook.
15. Okay. Wow, we really like Germans, huh?
Right. I feel like that's another one of the secret biases of Wikipedia is that, you know, along with like battleships and crickets, there's a lot of German stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that maybe I don't want to think about too hard.
Very influential people.
Yeah, I'm going first again, and I'm ready. So, everyone else, good for that?
Sure.
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Hey, so I got Helen Paul's Graph versus a Long Island Railroad Company. It's like a legal case over a woman who got injured at a train station. This contestant is Helen King. She is 43 years old, and she is employed as a janitor, but she's one of those janitor prodigy types you see in, I guess, that Matt Damon movie. Her big plan for the bicycle of the future is urban bike railing, kind of like a monorail, except it's a big car with lots of pedals, and every passenger helps to pedal the mono bike, we'll call it. And it sort of represents the philosophical idea of that if everybody puts in a little bit of effort, nobody has to put in a lot of effort, and we can all get where we want to go. Questions?
Yeah, I've seen bikes like this in the past. So I'm wondering, does your bike run on AC or DC?
It runs on left foot and right foot.
What if you have two left feet?
Then the whole thing has to correct for a few seconds before the mono bike starts going in circles.
Do people sit facing the center or facing the front or facing the back or facing out?
As long as they all pedal in the same direction, they can sit in any direction they want. That's a personal coordination issue. Everybody contributes in their own way, however they can and want to.
Yeah, well, everybody can contribute their own way, but somebody's got to steer. Is this a false dichotomy?
There's going to be one person at the front of the monobike who just tells everybody what direction to lean into as they go around corners.
Is this elected or chosen by lottery?
It's going to be a city employee. This is a highly paid government position. Helen's more of a big dreamer type. There's always one of those.
Well, what do you do about priority seating for differently abled people? How does that work on your bike? I know the timer went off. I just want to know about your bike. Mm-hmm.
You know, I think people who aren't able to pedal can just kind of get a free ride. You know, it's the whole idea is that everybody supports each other a little. And, you know, some people aren't able to contribute, and that's okay. And they shouldn't be judged in that way because they contribute in other ways.
Hmm. Okay, I should stop thinking about this bicycle.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. Woo.
Mike, shake hands with murder.
I will, thankfully, yes. So I am Brent. My bike is actually based on the financial markets. So what it will do is every time you press a pedal, it will buy a penny stock and will send out a spam message to everyone in the world to say that it's really a great idea to buy this stock. So really, as you pedal, it's sort of like a pump and dump type scheme. So really, the bike pays for itself and pays for your house and pays for everybody else's bike. And no one's going to be the wiser. Somebody's going to be the loser, but we'll never meet any of those folks.
So how is the bike?
Yeah, is the bike kind of controlled by any kind of stock performance, or is it just like a normal bike with a stock buyer attached?
Well, I wouldn't say this is a normal bike. I would say that as the price goes up, probably the pedal resistance is also going to go up so that you don't really push too far beyond the boundaries of what's going to be financially appropriate to you. We're working on adding in options.
Is this a stationary bike that you use to generate income, or does it actually take you places?
Oh, it takes you wherever you want to go in the future. I'm saying if you want more bikes, if you want more houses, if you want the lifestyle that you've seen on TV and you don't even own a TV, this is the bike for you.
What sort of happens market-wise if your bike chooses to buy, say, a bunch of stocks in a random company like Bike Stop?
Like Stop? Yeah, well, if the market tanks a little bit too fast, if you're going downhill like real quick, one thing that the bike can do is veer into a bank, rob that bank, and veer right back out. So really you got it coming and going. You pump, you dump, and if it dumps too far, then you pump. Any other questions?
Similar question to the animal bike, but with a different context. How do you deal with the dumping problem?
The dumping problem really is somebody else's problem, if you know what I mean. The spam attachment is really going to be the...
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Maria, tell us about Oscar Fischer.
Okay, Oscar Fischer is a professor at a German university studying psychiatry, notably Alzheimer's disease. So I think his idea for a bike would be a bike that you can program to get you where you need to go. And then along the way, Memento?
Momentum?
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 The bike builds up momentum?
Style. It explains to you, it keeps you track of your grocery receipts and lists. And let you know what you came here to do once you got there. So if you needed to ride to the store, and then you got there and you're like, why am I even here? There's even a little one that you can ride around your house. Because if you go to the kitchen, you're like, why am I here? The bike will remind you.
Yeah, obvious question here. How do you keep the bike from gaslighting you?
Well, it's not gas-powered. It's powered.
What happens if you forget to get the bike on your way to get the bike so you remember to get other things?
Well, there's also a wristband that is attached to the bike. So the bike, if you get two out of the area that the bike exists in, the wristband beeps. You look at it. It says, "Go find your bike."
What if you want to take a nap or go to sleep for the night?
Well, you have to take the bike with you. But that, I mean, you know, there's also an attachment that, you know, it goes up and down the stairs. There's a stair lift.
You got to sleep with the bike?
Well, just next to it.
What happens if you get too romantically attached to the bike?
What's the problem with that? That solves, you're with your true love already.
So this bike is primarily dealing with memory issues. Can it answer the existential question, why am I here?
I think it just gives joke answers, like, you know, Siri or something. Why am I here? Why not? Or why am I here? Because there had to be a vowel.
I'm going to keep that really long pause in before the timer. Lightning round, full of long pauses.
Woo! Okay.
All right, Morgan, take us home with a boobook.
All right. So I'm ready. So it's going to be his name's Boo Book. He's an Australian bike shop owner. And really likes to ride around in the Australian outback on his bike. And he wants, like, his bike of the future would be a flying bike so he can just, like, soar over everything.
So, as producers, we're always looking for, potential connections and drama. How does the flying bike connect with the hovering bike of Vlad? Rivals?
Well, you know, the hovering bike's a great idea, but, you know, it's starting too small. It's not ambitious enough. Like, why hover when you could fly?
What's the mechanism for flight? Does it have giant wings?
Oh, I mean, I don't know yet. I haven't thought that far.
So do you start on the ground, or do you have to be up on a cliff and then dive off of the cliff and then pedal? Or how do you get up there to start with?
Ideally, you'd probably just get dropped out of an airplane at this point.
So does the bike come with an airplane, or?
Yeah.
Wow. What's your price point on this bike?
I don't know, man. Probably really expensive.
Were you inspired by the French and their early forays into aviation? We've all seen that video of the bicycle with the big flaps on it driving off a cliff and then just smashing into the earth.
Oh, yeah, that would be a good idea, wouldn't it? Boo's definitely not.
With a trampoline?
Boo's got his head in the clouds, guys.
Well, that'd be ideal, I guess, right?
Mm.
I feel kind of compelled to ask, how's business at the bike shop doing?
You know, people just go in, go out. It's pretty good, man. It's all right.
This is just the background music to Boo Book's life.
It's all that's going on in his head. Like, if you just, like, open up his brain, like, it's just, like, head empty, that noise going.
Do, 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 do. So I'll roll and see if we get a number I haven't had yet. 5. Oh, yeah, we haven't had 5 yet.
I'll be Arthur M. Dula. Need a space lawyer.
Space lawyer.
I'll take a premium mail.
Ooh. Shit, why did I say I was ready? I'm not ready. I mean, for the sake of the podcast, I am ready, but...
Yeah, I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be.
I am super ready.
Lightning round!
Lightning round!
Lightning round!
Lightning round.
My article is Comet Kohoutek. It was, I don't know, a fucking comet or whatever, but actually like an Edgeworth Cooper belt thing. It doesn't matter. This contestant is, you know, there's always some sort of like weird kind of like gothy or punky contestant in some reality shows. This is Kohoutek, you know, age question mark, home city question mark. You know, they are, you know, a bald person of indeterminate gender in a robe, and they are proclaiming that they are going to build the bike that will bring about the end times. Questions.
And so what are the end times in your vision?
Everything is going to get very, very cold and very, very bright. And then it will be cold and bright forever.
Are you going to sell more than one of these bikes? And if so, do they all end at the same time? Or does everybody get their own personal end time?
Always the goal is to sell as many as possible. But we really only need to sell one. And the end times are going to happen regardless of the number of purchases, or really even if the bike is ever ridden.
So you don't actually need to sell any, and it's still going to work just fine?
Yes.
And so how does the bike operate?
You push it with your feetsies.
And how does it get you to the end times?
You know, at about 15, 20 miles an hour.
That's a pretty fast bike. You thinking of doing any racing with this?
At this point, Kohoutek just sort of stands up and kicks over the chair and walks out of the camera frame.
Mm-hmm. I got El Premio Mejor. It is a Mexican telenovela about... a dude who wins the lottery and becomes attached to the finer things in life. So my character is going to be Consuelo Flores. And her idea for a bike is that it's one of the, it doesn't have to be so spare. It can be one of the finer things in life. You know, we can have, it can be two wheels, you pedal it, but, you know, it could also be gas powered, and it can have, you know, a covering over it, a drink dispenser, a little, you know, a little television, you know, up in the corner so that you can, you know, you don't have to miss your favorite stories while you ride it around.
Yeah, so I've heard a lot about glamping. Is this one of those sort of bikes where it'll keep going while you sleep?
Oh, absolutely. You don't actually need to pedal. You could just and it just takes you there, wherever you want to go.
I know a lot of these bikes tend to, you know, go on for a really long time and have a lot of interlocking parts and unexpected connections. What's something in this luxury bike that people wouldn't necessarily expect to find?
There's a very tiny hot tub in the back. Now, you probably will only be able to put your arms in it because you're still going to have to, you know, at least keep your feet near the pedals and your butt on the seat so that it doesn't fall over. But, you know, if you steam up, you know, if you're feeling that your elbows are getting a bit scaly, it can help you out with that. Did I mention the foot warmer and the central air?
Oh, is there some sort of like shell over this bike?
Oh yeah, no, you don't. You're not out in the environs.
So the central air, are you talking 2 ton, 6 ton, 12 ton? What you got there?
I kind of want to imagine that this bike of the future is just a car.
It's only got two wheels, though.
No, true.
Anyone have the bumper, the one less car bumper sticker?
Yes.
Which is my favorite bumper sticker because it's so strange and meta.
Lightning round. I think we skipped round. Morgan, actually.
Well, yeah.
Tell us about the space lawyer.
This is Art Dula. He's a space lawyer. And in this universe, he's going to be like actually like a lawyer that lives in space. And he is a professional space bike accident lawyer. And his ideal version of the bike of the future is just like a space bike for biking on the moon.
I like to just amp up of it hovers, it flies, it's a rocket.
I was not even doing that on purpose.
Next is a bike that moves you through time.
Any questions?
Yeah. So a space bike, I feel like oxygenation and or, I don't know, eyeball explosion might be sort of an issue. Are you addressing either of those?
Yeah. So the whole deal with the space bike would be that it would be like so tailored to you that you would actually get on the bike from within the space shuttle or, you know, space house or whatever. And the bike itself comes with its own suit that you put on that is attached to the bike that has an oxygen supply and everything on it. And it's so perfectly balanced and calibrated for you specifically to be able to ride on any surface.
So there's a lot of unusual environments and different gravitational forces in space. Is there any... Like, what specialized training does somebody need to ride this bike?
I mean, it would be, you know, obviously most useful for people who, you know, are living out here in space in the future. I'm one of the few right now, but the view is breathtaking. Highly recommend it. More people should live on the moon in space and, yeah, once space tourism becomes more popular, that'll be all solved by other people. I'm not worried about it.
Mike, why don't you disrupt some solutions for us?
Yeah, so this is a disruptive solution process bike. So my name is Disp, and so we've heard a lot of sort of pie in the sky stuff, a lot of really fancy bike ideas, but what we haven't really seen is a bike which is constantly going to improve itself and is going to be very cheap and it's going to be better and better every time you ride it, every moment you ride it. As you ride along, you have a series of documenters, bureaucrats who can look at each individual piece of the bike and can fax in their improvements to the individual pieces, which will be shipped to wherever you are on the bike. They will bolt that piece on, remove and observe the processes which were leading to the previous piece being suboptimal. And as you pedal, they will run alongside you and constantly remove and improve each individual piece of the bike until the bike iterates constantly toward the possible best bike that can ever be made. Obviously, we're working out the kinks on to how to connect the fax machines as they ride along, walk alongside you. But that's something that we can also iterate against. It's going to be constant improvement in observability of improvement.
Well, I mean, you've heard of e-fax, right? Seems simple. You could just fax directly to their phones.
So you would fax to their phones and then they would call into the fax machine and they could iterate that way. I think that sounds kind of ideal. We can iterate over that. Thank you.
Does this mean that you have to bike at the speed that these helpers are running, or are these runners fast enough to keep up with a bike?
Well, that's an excellent question. And so we would observe and improve on the runners who are running alongside the bike. So we have a second level of bureaucrats who are looking at the first level of bureaucrats. They will fax in improvements to the bureaucrats who are riding alongside your bike so that they can iterate and observe and iterate on the bike as they are being iterated on themselves.
Is manufacturing of the bike, is there going to be a limited number of them based on how many bureaucrats and runners you have?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And at the factory, we start with one single ball bearing and we iterate and improve over that until we reach something which is a minimally viable bicycle. And then we can iterate over all of those things, including the term minimally viable itself.
Oh, fuck. You were on fire today.
Goddamn.
How many cups of coffee have you had?
Just this one, but it's getting better every time I take a sip.
It's iterating.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Okay, so we've got 4 articles left, 2 of which are random high schools.
Oh, God.
All right, really? Can we take a second to write up what we did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I need to...
Wow, there's nothing in this Fremont school article except this giant baby that is their mascot.
I'll take it. I'll take that article then. I can do this along with that.
Nice.
I got that covered.
I'll be John Fitzwalter, 2nd Baron Fitzwalter.
Oh, does that mean Mike is Boys Ranch High School?
Yeah.
Excellent. This is exactly what I wanted. I'm so excited about this.
Boys Ranch.
Boys Ranch.
Boys Ranch.
Okay. All right. I'm ready.
I'm as ready as I was when I pulled up this article. Sweet. We're just going to see what happens.
Yep. Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Going down the list, Mike, you're up first with Boys Ranch.
Boys Ranch. Boys Ranch High School, the home of the Rough Riders. This is, looks like Hugh is the name of the first kid here. There are 7 other kids. You don't really catch their names, ranging from about 12 to maybe 16. And so what they're proposing is a sandpaper and planing bike. This is inspired by the boards of education. So sometimes you need to go through the forest and you also need to make some money. So this bike will cut down trees and will plane them into saleable boards and will then sand down those boards to whatever you need and will kick that back out of the back of the bike. And it will continue on in that way until the forest is clear cut and all of the boards can be sold.
So are like the other boys riding the boards? Is it like one boy riding a bike with a bunch of boys riding boards behind it?
Well, one of the bikes is going to be the planing bike. That will be the plane bike. And then the ones after that will be a grittier and finer grit until the final board is smooth as a pepper.
Sorry, I just need to check with our legal department. We're letting a group of 5 to 7 children compete as a single unit alongside 19 other adults. Is this the case?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you add up all of our ages together, we're 45, so we figure it counts.
Okay, I've done my paperwork.
Questions?
Who is the who's like the cool kid in this group? Like the real, like the one all the other kids look up to?
Oh, there's the one in the back of the list, the 6th one who has that haircut, which is sort of like over one eye, ironically. And he whispers something into one of the guy's ears and they all laugh.
Hmm. And can we get a microphone or a zoom in on what was said?
He was saying, I'm feeling kind of bored with this whole conversation.
So what's the admissions process for this group of teens?
The admissions process? I mean...
Yeah, like how do you get into the club?
I love how Mike just stops when the timer goes off.
Yeah.
No further answers. Maria, you're up next.
Okay.
Your large baby.
Fremont City Schools, and it has no information whatsoever, but just a picture of a giant baby called the Little Giant, who's, I suppose, the mascot. Although it does say Superintendent John Detweiler. That is going to be our bike enthusiast. John Detweiler started out as the mascot for Fremont City Schools, worked his way up to superintendent. But he always had a soft spot in his heart for truly, like, you know, embodying the costume that you wear. And his idea for a bike is, you know, for the true bike enthusiast, become the bike. So this is a bike that is a bike outfit that you wear. You have wheels on your back, a wheel on your back, and a wheel between your front paws, and you're sort of bent over. And the most exciting thing about this is, like, you've heard of extreme corseting, right? You can actually mold your body into a thinner and thinner tube so that you eventually look exactly like a bike.
So you're sort of like a worm bike here. So one of the questions that I would have, you mentioned front paws. Are you a human?
What's human? What's human? Humans are just animals. Bikes are the supreme beings. I refer to my appendages as paws. They won't be truly realized until they are a wheel.
So is this a sort of permanent change, or is this just something you can put on and take off when you're done being a bike?
Well, I mean, for, you know, posers, yeah, there's a starter kit. But no, I'm looking at the audience that is the true devotee, where this is a permanent body modification, become the tube.
I don't want to call my shot, but I'm pretty sure this guy's making it into the competition.
Yes.
Like, just the phrase become the tube, like, he comes with a catchphrase already. So, my article is Can't Get You Out of My Head, a 2001 song by Kylie Minogue. I'm going to say this is literally Kylie Minogue, Australian singer, taking a hard left turn into futuristic bicycle design. And her idea is, she calls it Cubase. It's a mentally controlled bicycle, kind of like a drone, or except it's, you know, land-based and two-wheeled. And the main feature of it is that you are always connected to this bicycle. Like, you know, you can steer it around, you can use it to record various aspects of your life. At night, you do have to kind of put it up on some hooks because, you know, you don't want to idly run your bicycle forward out into the street or anything.
Have there been any recorded beta testing accidents?
Well, as a recording artist, Kylie is, you know, very familiar with the process of recording things that happen. And, you know, she can clearly attest to a familiarity with that.
You seem a bit evasive. Is there something you're hiding about your bike design?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely not. You can walk up to it. You can see it. You can try the Cubase neural interfacing, and you can see for yourself what living life with a bike is like. Like bike.
Did you say like bike?
Like bike. Yes.
Is that the catchphrase for your slogan for your company? Is it publicly traded?
Yes, the paperwork just went through. This is a very famous like bike hook. Like bike, like bike, like.
Oh.
Lightning round.
Lightning round.
Morgan.
My article is John Fitzwalter, second Baron Fitzwalter. This contestant's name is Fitzbaron Walter Walter. He's just really rich. He's a lord, but well, he's supposed to be really rich, but you know, he's been disinherited, I think, or like his family is one of those like people that one of those families that has like a title and like maybe has a big mansion but isn't really super rich, but they like to pretend they're super rich. So he's entering this contest because he needs more money. And his ideal bicycle of the future would be one that is surrounded by some kind of energy field so as to maintain optimal body temperature and wind conditions so as not to ruffle your hair too much or make you sweat too much when you're biking.
So there are wind conditions inside of the bike itself?
It's just like a very pleasant light breeze that won't jostle your hair.
Say the unexpected does happen and you do end up sweating. What kind of mechanism is in place to sort of dab that off of you?
It's the energy field is moisture wicking. So it just like sucks any moisture away.
See, moisture wicking energy field. Got it.
You also have to like throw a silica packet into the energy field with you just to like make sure to properly dehydrate things.
Do you need to reach outside of the energy field in order to throw in the moisture wicking?
No. It's just like, it's just right there.
Are silica packets included in the purchase price or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's
great. Yeah. But you know, it's a long lifetime supply. You do have to like reorder every couple years, ideally. Lightning round.
Yeah, lightning round. Those are the contestants for Ghost/Riders. Which four do we want to do individual episodes on? Who do we want to see more of? Do we want to do this where we each pick a person, or do we want to like discuss like who do we think will be good television?
I want Vlad.
You are attached to John Detweiler, right? I'm pretty into him too. I think that's good.
Become the tube.
I want my pump and dump bike.
I know nothing about stocks, so I...
Oh, I don't really either. I just thought it was a fun idea.
Uh-huh.
But is it a fun idea as that series of comments, or do you think we could do a whole episode on it?
Yeah, probably not.
Oh, yeah. We'll pretend this is the hot seat. We're all casting directors or talent finders or whatever. I think I'm curious about Albert and Clara Ritter. Obviously, we don't want to make light of their physical differences, but I think this chocolate factory accident is the kind of tragic backstory that might really hook viewers in and highlight some of the dangers of chocolate factories.
Right, and there would be, since there are two of them, and though they're one, but they're also two, I can see some really interesting conflict arising, maybe between them, and you know, if they're of different minds on how to compete, or be with them and the other contestants of the show. I don't know. I also... A space lawyer lives on the moon. That would also expand our viewership, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's very expensive to get your show broadcast on the moon. It's a completely different market. But, you know, maybe with a moon contestant, we can pick up a local affiliate. Maybe they'll give us a discount.
Well, that's true. Or even, you know, it's possible that, you know, I know that, you know, when you're on the moon, you know, buying an Earth TV package – is a little expensive, but you know, if you get them to sign up for a month to watch the show, they get hooked and maybe they stay subscribed.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of expanding viewership, I think this chess bike is really going to be huge for us. I know the market segment, 17 to 8 and 65 to 85 really eats that up. The viewership for chess and chess adjacent shows is just exploding in the modern marketplace.
Plus, Turk is self-taught. I think that's a very interesting story. Young, a little kind of scruffy, but attractive.
I like that.
And Morgan, you are particularly attached to Vlad. What do you see Vlad's story going to be? Let me put that in a correctly sounding sentence. What do you think Vlad's story is going to be?
You know, I feel like it'll be a good tie-in with that supernatural heritage, you know, or at least supernaturally associated heritage.
We've been focusing on the bike. I think Vlad would play really well with the ghost side of the show.
I mean, you've got inheritances and, you know, deaths and hauntings. I think he's a really good character for it. And, you know, he's young and seems to actually be making it out on his own.
Well, I mean, but what about Marjorie Cormoran, though? Occultist, painter, someone that can potentially see the future, or at least, like, you know, might try to commune with the ghosts. That could make for some pretty interesting television.
Right, right. And the previously dead market of I think that market is going to explode as well. Or at least release the kind of gas that we need to sort of power the show forward.
Yeah, I like, I can really see some potential interplay with Marjorie and some of the haunting stuff that we've got going on. The Boys Ranch group, that's seven contestants in one. You know, legally it might be a bit dodgy, but I mean, as far as television goes.
Yeah, what are the laws around filming times, though, with underage contestants? Can we have them write those off?
I think legally we have to designate the old fort as a school, but, I mean, there's enough history in this place. We can call it educational, and that'll keep lawyers off our back for the most part. I know we've got a limited time. Let's lock people in. So we like Vlad. We like Marjorie.
We definitely like Turk.
We like Turk. Okay, so we got two ghost people. Let's say two bike people too. Let's get another a bike person to be our fourth.
So, I mean, John Detweiler, the extreme bike enthusiast. I mean, he's the most bike person of all bike people. He wants to be a bike.
Become the two. I mean,
that guy's gonna do anything in the competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. John Detweiler, Vlad, Marjorie, and Turk. All right. I'm smelling whatever award they give to reality shows. Grammys?
Do we need to just limit ourselves to four?
I mean, these are the four that we're going to be doing individual episodes on.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I also was rather attached to Albert and Clara Ritter, but it seems that we have one from each of us right now. I think that seems fair and good.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the others are still contestants, so, you know, we can bring them up in other ways.
Have them interact.
Yeah. Okay. But these are the four that are making it to the finale.
This has been Pod of Wonder. You can follow us on Twitter at Pod of Wonder. You can email us at podofwonder@gmail.com. And you can buy some shirts and stickers and other merch at society6.com/podofwonder. Danny can be found on Twitter at DannyPlaysRPGs. And you can find the games Danny makes at DannyMakesRPGs.itch.io. You can find Morgan on Twitter at Morgan_the_Fay_ and on Instagram at MorganTheFay with no underscores. Fay spelled F-A-E in both cases. Mike and Maria are not on social media like sensible people. Our opening theme is Opening by Kumiku. And our closing theme is Bike Ride With You by Ryan Anderson. See you next ride, Wanderers.